map that I just handed out. It's very similar to the map that we handed out a while back. But if you'll notice on one side, it's kind of a chart there as to where we have been as far as our students have gone since we started the book of Genesis. Now, what you have on the map, it's hard to kind of see. There's a dark spot that did not copy too well. And in that dark spot, you'll see that there's a country called Ammon, Moab, and Edom. Now, this is the country that the children of Israel came into and set up camp right before they crossed the Jordan River. Now remember, if you will, these are the descendants of those 600,000 that died during that 40-year period of time as they were wandering in the wilderness. This is the group that left Egypt, that had been in bondage for 400 years, that Moses led across the Red Sea down to Mount Sinai where they received the law, law of Moses. And then they left Sinai, went out toward the wilderness area, and went up as far as Kadesh Barnea. That's where Miriam died. Moses, of course, was not permitted to cross over into the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan, if you'll notice, is the map that you see. And as we closed out our study in the book of Joshua, the last thing that Joshua did before he passed away was to divide up the land into tribes. Remember, there were 12 tribes. Each tribe got a plot of land. If you'll notice, there's Manasseh and Dan and Naphtali and Asher at the top of that map. At the bottom of that map, there's Simeon and Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim and Dan and Manasseh. Remember, if you will, you'll notice that Manasseh's in two places. Manasseh's in two places because, if you'll remember, right before they crossed the Jordan, there was three groups that asked if they could stay on the east side of Jordan. And in the plains area, they were permitted to do so if they would go in and help the people drive out the descendants or the people that live in this particular country. Before Moses died, if you'll remember when he was making his farewell speech, he told them if they would be faithful, if they would not turn their backs on God, that God would fight these battles with them and they would be victorious. That they would not have any trouble, but they were to go in and drive these people out of the land and they were to burn their cities. They were to utterly destroy these people. Why is it that God was so harsh with these people? Why did he not want his people to go in and live among them? Basically, the idolatrous worship. They were ungodly people. They did not worship Jehovah God, and he did not want them intermingling with those people lest they be tempted to worship these false gods. So the instructions from Moses as well as Joshua was that these people were to drive out the inhabitants of the land. Now, we're going to notice that they did this to a degree. They did not completely drive these people out. God was upset with them because of that and told them that they would be thorns in their side. Now, notice, if you will, on this map that it brings us from the beginning of the Bible all the way to where we are today. If you'll remember, we started out in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. That talks about the creation. If you'll remember, we talked about Adam and Eve being in the Garden of Eden. They were driven out of the garden because they sinned. Because of their sins, God promised them some hope in the seed of woman. And he promised from the seed of woman would come the Son of God, who would eventually die on the cross of Calvary, not only to save these people, but to save us today. Now, he also made a promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And he promised Abraham that his children, his descendants, would be like the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven. That's how many children or descendants he would have. And he went on to tell Abraham that he was to leave his homeland and go to this particular area we're talking about right here on this map, Canaan. Now, Abraham would never own land in Canaan, but God promised him that his descendants would. These are his descendants. Remember also, during this study, we talked about the flood. The people, after a period of time, became so wicked that God decides he's going to destroy everybody that had been born since that time. Who was it that persevered in the flood?
Noah.
Why did Noah escape the flood? He was faithful to God. Remember, if you will, God told Noah to build an ark. Told him exactly how to build that ark. Told him when to get on the ark and close the doors of the ark. And the flood came and destroyed that people. Then, of course, after the flood, you have the scattering of the people. Now, we looked at a chart that talked about different people that was born during this period of time. You see, after the flood, who did you have left? Who? Noah and his children. And from those children, you had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Some of these people that we're going to be talking about tonight, and as we study the book of Judges, are going to be descendants of these people. Especially those that came from Canaan. You're going to read over and over about the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and all these other ites that we're going to be talking about. These are the people that are descendants of these brothers that dwell in this particular land, and God gave them ample time to repent. They refused to repent. God says, I'm giving that land to my children, Israel. So after that scattering of the people, you run into what we call the patriarchs. That would have been the descendants of Abraham. And also after the patriarchs, you're talking about the Exodus from Egypt. Remember, if you will, when we were studying about Abraham in Genesis, the 15th chapter, God spoke to Abraham in a vision and told him that these descendants that he was going to have from his loins were going to spend 400 years in bondage. The place that they would spend in bondage would be Egypt. If you'll remember, Abraham's descendants, Jacob and his family goes down into Egypt because of the famine that existed. Joseph had risen up to first or second in command under Pharaoh of Egypt, brought his family down, and from that family, they, over a 400-year span of time, became the great nation that he promised Abraham he would have. So once Moses delivered them across the Red Sea, and they spent that year at Sinai, where they received the law, learned how to build the tabernacle, learned how to adopt the priest and dress the priest and numbered the people, they were to start their way into the land of Canaan. But because of unbelief, the generation that left Egypt died and they were buried out there in the wilderness. So we're about to study, or we have been studying, about the descendants of these people. Now, remember, if you will, as we looked at the book of Joshua, and as we began our study into the book of Judges, you're talking about people whose children may have been 3 or 4, 5 or 6, 7 or 8, 15 years old, 18 years old, that had witnessed their moms and dad buried out there in the wilderness. Now here they are on the brink of the Jordan River. They crossed the Jordan River, and their job was to conquer or take Canaan. And they were to drive out all these people. Joshua was going to lead them in this effort. As we closed out the book of Joshua on Sunday morning, we talked about his final speech. Now, what we did not cover was the last few verses of the book of Joshua. Now, notice, if you will, in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua makes the same farewell speech that Moses made. Now here they are, they had heard two speeches from two godly men. One speech from Moses, one speech from Joshua. Both speeches contain information to encourage them to stay faithful to God. Don't leave God, don't walk out on God, don't worship these hand-carved idols or images that these people round about who live in this country worship. You drive them out, you kill them, you burn their cities, you do away with them, and stay faithful to God, and He'll continue to bless you. But He said, if you do not do that, He said, I will allow people to come in and take control of you and lead you away captive. So that's the big if, that's the big but. Now notice, if you will, what takes place. Beginning in verse 31, now verse 30 talks about burying Joseph. Now Joseph had been dead how many years, do you think?
Over 400.
Yeah, he'd been dead about 400 years. Now, why are they just burying Joseph?
Well, they took his bones to be buried back in Egypt.
Why didn't they just bury him in Egypt?
He has to be taken back
to. If you remember, Jacob bought a tomb. Where did he buy this tomb? Here in Canaan. And Joseph had so much faith, so much trust, so much confidence in Jehovah God. When he said, I'm going to deliver these people out of Egyptian bondage, I'm going to lead them into the land of Canaan, I'm going to give them the land I promised Abraham I would give them. Joseph had so much trust in that promise that God made to Abraham, because he trusted God. He believed in God. So he said, I tell you what I want you to do. When the time comes that God is going to lead these people out of Egyptian bondage, I want you to take my bones. And I want you to pack them up, and I want you to take them with you, and I want you to bury me in my daddy's tomb when we get to Canaan. Now tell me that's not faith. Tell me that's not an obedient faith. To be able to have enough trust in God's word that he said, pack my bones up and take me with. That's exactly the reason. Because remember, if you will, they run into a little difficulty. The difficulty was unbelief, lack of faith. So it took them a year to get from Egypt to Sinai. And they had to wander 40 years till they all died. And then the children of these families took his bones They went in like Joshua said. They took the land. They numbered the people. They divided up the land. And each person, if you were from the tribe of Manasseh, you see where your land would be. If you were from the descendants of Dan, you see where your land would be. Naphtali, Asher, Issachar, Manasseh, Gad, Ephraim, Dan, Judah, Benjamin, Simeon, Reuben. So toward the end of Joshua's life, he not only divided the land up, but they even knew where their land would be. If you were from Judah, you would know exactly where your place was, just as well as if we get in our cars when the building's over and we know where our house is. So now they've got the land. So Joseph knows where his people are going to be buried. And they bury Joseph in verse 30. And then it says in verse 31, "And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. Who is Israel? Pardon? Israel is all of these people you see represented on this map. It's the descendants of Abraham. They're referred to as Israel. But in reality, they're people from the tribe of Manasseh, Naphtali, Asher, Issachar, Ephraim, Dan, Judah, Simeon. They're descendants of these sons that Jacob had, also including Joseph and his two sons. That's who they're referring to when they're saying Israel. They came from the loins of Abraham. So Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And the bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem, in a parcel of ground which Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, died. They buried him in a hill that pertained to Phinehas, his son, which was given him in the mount of Ephraim. So in essence, what we're saying here is we learn in the last few verses of the book of Joshua that all the old-timers are dead and gone. Aaron's gone, Miriam's gone, Moses is gone, Aaron's son is gone, Joshua's gone. All the old timers are gone. And it says they remain faithful. How long after the old timers died?
Till the elders died.
Till the elders died. So you can see the chain here of what's taking place. Once all of the elders died that had known Joseph, that had known Aaron and Moses, all the elders that had been under the influence of Joseph teaching and Moses teaching, when they all died out, we step into the book of Judges, and we see how things changes drastically. Remember, if you will, we learned in Exodus chapter 23 and Deuteronomy chapter 7, Deuteronomy chapter 9, Deuteronomy chapter 11, that Israel was to drive out all the inhabitants of this land. They failed to do that. And you're going to see, as you study the book of Judges, the consequences of that problem. Notice how the first few verses of Judges starts. Now, after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up for us against the Canaanites first to fight against them?" Now, notice, if you will, things are going pretty good at this point. Joshua's dead. But yet, we're beginning the book of Judges, people are still wanting to know, what would God have us to do? Who shall we get to lead us in battle to go to war against these Canaanites? Now, they should have already driven them out, but there's some still left. So the first thing that we read about as we start our study in the book of Judges is a very good, positive, healthy, spiritual attitude towards their responsibility. They know they need to drive these Canaanites out of the land. So the first question is, we need to petition Jehovah God. We need to ask Him, who should lead us in battle? Who can help us to provide the necessary leadership that we need to go against these Canaanites and to drive them out? And the Lord said in verse 2, Judah shall go up. Behold, I have delivered the land into his hand. Now, who is it talking about when it's talking about Judah?
The tribe.
Who?
The entire tribe.
That's right. The tribe of Judah. Someone from the tribe of Judah, because where is Judah? Who was Judah?
One of the 12 sons.
So they're asking now, remember, they're divided up. They said, who's going to lead us? Well, the tribe of Judah is going to lead us. That's who Jehovah God wants to be in control of this battle. Now notice, if you will, what happens. And Judah said unto Simeon, his brother, look at your map. And notice, if you will, how close they are to one another. And again, who is Simeon? That's right. Another one of the sons. So see, we're talking about who's going with Judah? Simeon. Who is Simeon? The descendants of Simeon. Who is Judah? The descendants of Judah. So they are to team up together, and they are to go to battle, and their responsibility is to drive out the Canaanites. So Simeon went with him, and Judah went up, and the Lord delivered the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand. And they slew of them, Bezek, 10,000 men. And they found Adonim was that. And they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And Adonibezek fled. They pursued after him. What did they do to him when they caught him? What else? They cut his thumbs off and his big toes. Why do you think they did that?
Well, didn't he do that about seven of the others?
That is exactly what he did. As a matter of fact, he makes the statement, well, as we would say today, what goes around comes around. And he basically makes that statement. He says, well, you know, I've done the same thing. That's my trait. That's what I did when I would capture a king. I cut his thumbs and big toes off.
What do you reckon for?
You ever tried to walk without a big toe? No, you hadn't, because you still got two.
You ever tried to hold a sword without
a thumb? No, I just wanted to.
Yeah. So basically, making them incapable of leading anyone else in battle. So they captured this king, and they cut his thumbs off and his big toes. It says in verse 29, chapter 9, No, no, it's at 7, I'm sorry. It says, and Adonibezek said, 70 kings, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God hath required me. What does that tell you about? Didn't necessarily mean he worshiped God, but after this happened, he had to acknowledge the fact, well, you know, this is what I did, and this is what God's sentence to me was, and they took him back to Jerusalem, and what happened? Died there. Now notice, if you will, on your map, once again, if you'll look at Judah, right up at the top of Judah, you've got Bethlehem and Jerusalem. That's going to be two very important cities. Once we start our study on the United Kingdom and then the divided kingdom, Jerusalem is going to wind up the center of worship. And so Jerusalem is going to play a very, very important part, both in the Old Testament as well as the New. Now, I would think the best way to divide out the book of Judges, we're not going to study each one of these judges in detail. Notice, if you will, there's a list of the judges at the bottom of the sheet. We're going to look at some of these judges, not all of them. We're going to talk about Othniel because he was the first one. We'll talk about some of these judges, such as Deborah and Gideon. Jephthah is an interesting one because of the vow that he made, and Samson and Eli. We'll hit some of these judges, but notice, if you will, that's what we're going to be looking at in our study of the book of Judges. Now, we need to kind of remember that these judges were chosen by who? God. For what purpose?
Military office. Military one.
Yeah. Military leader, and to a degree a spiritual leader. Because God would not pick someone who was not a spiritual person to lead the military. Now here's what we're going to see throughout the book of Judges. We're going to see it on again, off again. On again, off again. Remember, they started out in Judges chapter 1, verse 1, very faithful. Make a petition to God, find out who our leader needs to be. It's Judah. Judah takes Simeon. They're going to go to battle against the Canaanites. But then after that victory, they're going to forget. And they're going to be unfaithful and ungodly. And they're going to begin to worship idols that are around them. And then, as they begin to be so involved in this ungodly, unrighteous living, and they forget God, God's going to allow these countries to overtake them. And one of the things we're going to see throughout the book of Judges, as you read it, that all through here, these people are going to be faithful for a while, unfaithful for a while, and when they're unfaithful, God's going to allow one of these countries that they should have thrown out to be victorious over them. They'll take them. They'll be slaves to them. They'll tax them for 5 years, 10 years, for a period of time. Then they're going to finally say, God, could you help me? On one occasion, he's going to say, why don't you get one of these gods you've been worshiping and get you out of your trouble? And when they do repent and they do ask for help, he's going to raise up a judge. That's where these judges come in. So that tells you they're on again, off again throughout the book of Judges. Well, as we get down toward the end, we're just about out of time. As we get down toward the end, when you see Samson and especially Eli and Samuel. They're going to become so rebellious that they're not satisfied with these judges. What are they going to want?
King.
They're going to want a king. Where did they get the idea they need a king? From the kings round about. They forgot about God taking the thumbs and the toes off of one of these kings. But they want them a king like everybody else has a king. So that's going to bring us to the next section of our study. We're going to leave the judges. And then we're going to get into the kings. And we're going to look at it in two sections. The united kingdom and the divided kingdom. The divided kingdom will take us to the end of our Old Testament study. That's when the prophets and the minor prophets are going to come into the picture. But on the united kingdom, the first king is going to be Saul. Second king is going to be David. The third king is going to be his son. And then after the death of this king, it's going to split. And you're going to have what's known as the united kingdom. I mean the divided kingdom. Then you're going to see this map cut in half. And you're going to see the northern kingdom up here. And then you're going to see Jerusalem and Judah and Simeon. And it's going to boil down to Judah and Jerusalem. Is going to be all that's left in part of the kingdom. 10 tribes are going to go one way, 2's going to be left. Then we'll look at the divided kingdom. Any questions or comments before we close it? All right, we'll pick up in our study of the judges and we'll look at Othniel on Sunday morning.